Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Did I Save, a gaming podcast. We talk about games, how do they change, and blah, 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 blah.
It's also how they change us.
That was awful.
That's an important detail.
That was awful.
You were doing so well, I was ready to be like, see, Ryan, that's how you do an intro.
I'm just kidding.
My gosh.
All right, I'm doing it again. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Did I Save,
a
gaming podcast. We're going to talk about how games change and how they change us. I'm Tay, I've got with me...
I'm Ryan.
The interrupting Ryan, and then I've got with me Jared here.
I didn't want to be rude. You said hi. Oh my
gosh. And we're going to talk about games that were better than we expected them to be.
Yeah. So I don't have any, obviously.
Okay.
We've already talked about most disappointing games, and I just researched the heck out of all my games.
Well, we're looking at the flip side of that, man. You thought it was good, but then you played it, and you were like, this is even better. Better
I know
than I thought it was.
Down to the molecule of dopamine, how much I will enjoy
I don't
a game.
That at all.
No, I've got a couple.
Okay.
I've got two. And they are doozies.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I've been excited to talk about this one.
Okay, cool. Ryan.
Hey Ryan.
Oh, let's make a new formula last episode and have the host go first, and then let's make Ryan go. I think the formula is Ryan goes first.
I mean, yeah.
That's the new formula.
I mean, gonna put you
okay,
just,
fine.
I'm
okay.
Not gonna argue.
Met Jared.
Uh-huh.
And then he
That's
said...
True. That part's true.
He said, hey, come have a sleepover at my house.
We've already talked about this game.
And I'm an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, come have a sleepover.
I didn't call it a sleepover.
He said, come bring your Jam Jams and bring some vanilla Coke and
Listen,
some bagel
is
bites.
Is this a podcast or an indictment?
Yeah. A little bit of both.
I'm on trial here.
And indeed. I bring my sleeping bag and my Jam Jams and my pillow.
You didn't bring any of that.
And my
you didn't
laptop.
Bring a pillow. I was like, you didn't bring a pillow?
And my laptop. And we stay up all night playing this game called Titan Quest.
Oh, it's a different one. Yeah. This is hand me one of them toucans.
Yeah. I didn't have high expectations for Titan Quest.
Boy, did I not either.
It looks so bad.
I think we bought it on sale, because even when we bought it, it was kind of old.
Yeah, and the aesthetic I don't go for, like it's like Greek mythology.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's like just... I don't know. A lot of the armor, like the aesthetics of it, just looks ugly to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Monster designs are like meh, whatever.
Yeah, they're meh. But man, I could not put it down. We could not put it down
gosh.
To the point where we killed Jared's laptop.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
that.
Yeah,
he had to get a new laptop.
Yeah, I overheated my laptop. And just cooked that bad boy.
Yeah.
we played all night.
Yeah.
And into the morn.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about that game that really caught me off guard is, so there's all these different skill trees, but they're like elements, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
there's like spirit.
Not just earth, wind, water, but like poison and blah, blah, blah. There's all this stuff.
Really
but
good
when
ways
you can to, build as far as you want into any of them, and it just starts combining.
So you can multi-class and like your character is really different from any other playthrough you're going
to
do.
Yeah, the level of flexibility was just mind-blowing to me. I never expected it to be that well developed.
And it jumps to... The setting takes place not just in Greek mythology, like you start off in Greek mythology, like you're fighting like Medusa and like stuff like that, but then you like Cyclopses, and then you move on to Egyptian lore.
Cool, yeah.
You go to different settings. I think they had DLC.
Mm-hmm.
There
was definitely DLC. There's a sequel too as well. I don't know
Titan
that we've ever played
Titan Quest 2 is
Quest
not
two, but...
out yet.
Is that true? I thought it came out like a long time ago.
You can hear the silence. Like, you can hear the static
I'm pulling
of nothing.
It up on,
It'll be easy for you to spot
Titan
this
Quest,
on the audio.
Sure, Titan Quest 2 is coming to Steam soon. Add it to your wish list.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah, that is crazy.
I guess I will add it to my wish list, because I'm down for some more Titan Quest.
Yeah, I would.
It definitely had DLC.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got a bundle for like $13.
Yeah, they had a remaster that came out. Okay. HD remaster.
Maybe that's what I was
which
thinking.
I didn't play. That's probably what you're thinking of. But yeah, Titan Quest 2 is, I think, supposed to come out later this year.
I forgot all about that game.
Yeah, it's a good game. I mean, it's like a Diablo-style game, but it's more like an old, like Diablo 2 than it is Diablo 3
for sure.
or 4.
Mm-hmm. But it was just like, the thing is, I think that the skills had a meaningful impact on lots of different parts of combat, like how far you can attack is determined by, like, if I'm remembering correctly, it's like wind spells would focus on a certain style of play, right? Like, so distance. But then when you start combining that with, like, poison or something, then your attacks are obviously doing, like, damage over time, but at a really long... So whatever you can imagine, it's easy to be like, I want to fight this way. I think I just need to do these elements. Yeah. Instead of having to, like, filter through every skill in a skill tree and be like...
You invested points in a tree, and then that would, like, raise a bar on the left, which allowed you to unlock the skills on the right, and you could invest extra points into those skills. So you had to, like, invest points into a skill tree to be able to invest points in the skills of that skill tree.
Okay.
If I remember it correctly.
Yeah.
That sounds right to me. But, yeah, I don't have...
Just lots of loot dropping all over the place.
Oh,
just so much. Smashing enemies left and right. And it was... I don't remember how many players it was. I mean, you just...
I think it was at least four, right?
Isn't it like... Didn't this game come out in like 2000?
That's old.
I was going to say, it's very old.
There's a remaster. THQ Nordic.
The thing is, I don't remember it looking that bad. But
it's
just
kind of grainy.
Yeah.
The animations look good, but I mean,
repetitive. I think the other thing is with games like that where the aesthetic is just not appealing to me. I don't care as much about the graphics because I'm like, I don't care that I can't see this dumb looking armor.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It would just be like a leather strap to like this leather chunky thing, but like your shoulders are exposed.
Yeah, you look like a butcher.
You almost look like a butcher.
Yeah.
And I never was like satisfied with the way my character looked,
and this was well before transmog stuff where you can make your gear look like whatever you wanted, so you were just stuck with
transmog system if there was one.
My conquistador helmet with my kilt on or whatever,
right? So what about it was better than you thought it was gonna be?
I mean, like, it just looked like an awful game.
That is a big part of it, is that the expectations were low specifically because nothing about the visual aspects of the game spoke to us.
Why we played it.
I don't either.
I don't remember specifically why we played it. I just remember being like, this is just going to be like not as good as Diablo, because Diablo's aesthetic was like Diablo 2 was out at the time, maybe Diablo 3.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's not going to be as cool looking as Diablo. Why would I play this? And I was like, oh, I'm super into it.
It just
super addictive game.
Felt really fun to play. Like the combat was really satisfying in the same way that, like...
And it was exciting to level up because you get to go into this skill tree and get these new cool skills that actually did different things.
Mattered instead of being like 5% more attack speed.
Right. Yeah.
That's what separated it from Diablo and what drew me into it more than, than Diablo 3 was... the customization you have to your character. Because Diablo, you pick a class and you can like choose your skills among that class.
I'm like,
This game is just like, do what you want.
Do whatever you want.
It's up to the player.
I've never played Titan Quest, but I know what it is. And I've seen.
We could all play Titan Quest too when it comes out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm definitely down for that.
Yeah. Sounds good. I'm down.
And that's my game.
Nice.
Let's hop on the subway to the Segway. The Segway Subway.
Oh, so it's me now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow, so we just get, what are we playing, a board game? Is it what, counterclockwise? What's happening?
I don't know. You guys make the rules and I show up.
No, it's fine. I mean, you know, if you want to talk about games that have...
thanks to Sam Webster. Thanks to...
We just do the one this week.
Yeah, exactly.
You can hit us up anywhere you can find us.
Yeah, you're doing so good.
Yeah.
Way better than last time. On the streets, we sometimes walk on the streets.
It's easier when you're not the host to end the show.
Yes. So good.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Yeah.
Mine is... I don't know if it's really obvious or one that you would never guess. I'm not really sure. But it's Nier Automata. Is that an obvious one, or is that one you'd never guess?
It's an obvious one.
Okay. I don't know if it's obvious or not, because...
You didn't expect it to be good?
No, that's the thing is, it's so much better than I thought it would be.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, I'm coming from Nier, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, for me, was a game all about its narrative.
Yeah.
Great soundtrack, great characters. Mm-hmm. I loved the story. I love the way that the story is told.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the combat is just so generic.
It's there.
Could not be worse.
Yeah.
I mean, could definitely be worse, actually.
Yeah.
The problem is that it is so mid-tier. That right. it is like, this is literally just a function to get through this game. I don't care about any of this. And to the point where you would see people online being like, how do I, like, what do I do to make the combat more bearable? Because I just want to get through it. And people are like, well, this is the exact build you're going to want to use to make the combat go as quickly as possible so that you can get over it.
It's the same reason they put trees in the game. There, if you didn't have trees, you'd be like, there's no trees.
Yeah.
Where are the trees? Why are like, no trees? They got done like, where's the combat?
And they're like, no fight? And they're like, oh, crap, we forgot. Okay. Yeah, let's go put, I don't know, put a big sword. Big sword.
Big sword. Big
sword. And a small sword. I don't know. I don't care. yeah. I'm sure tell a story. So when they announced a sequel to it, which I didn't even know that it was going to get for sure, because it's very much a cult classic.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
I'm like, honestly, please just like tell me more story in the same way. Like just
How are they going to nail that again though? Right.
Right. Exactly. It's first of all, it's like, okay, if they're making a sequel, and then they announced that Platinum Games was making the sequel, and I was like, okay. Platinum Games, like their whole reputation, for people who don't know, is that they have combat down pat. They do the best combat. They do the most interesting combat.
Can you give an example of a game?
Bayonetta.
Okay.
They did one of the Metal Gear Solid games, I believe. Yeah.
Revengeance.
They did.
So like Devil May Cry style.
Very much Devil May Cry style. Yeah. Very flashy. Mm-hmm. Very combo focused. Like levels of complexity. They tend to do a really good job making combat where if you just want to button mash your way through, you can.
You can.
But the more you're willing to invest. Weep.
Is it going?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's combat where the more you're willing to invest, the more you'll get out of it. Mm-hmm. And so you see people doing these really super crazy combos and stuff. Like one great example, just to derail this whole conversation.
Good.
Is I personally am not a huge fan of Bayonetta, but I played way more of that game than I would have because the combat is so engaging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have a whip that is a snake. And it is timing-based combos, and it's a weapon that like tends to do a lot of damage and is very powerful. But if you ever miss a button prompt, it will bite you instead. So you have to like master it perfectly, or you will kill yourself with the whip.
Yeah, literally.
And it was just like really interesting weapons like that, very creative and out of the norm. So I was like kind of relieved because I knew the combat would be on point. But then my new concern is, okay, are they going to lean so far away from focusing on story and characters and stuff that the thing I liked about Nier is going to be turned into, a popular action game or whatever. Mm-hmm. Not that at all. Every moment I was playing that game, I was like, how can this game be this good? It is unreal. They do the same things that I loved about Nier, but in a whole new way. The ending is unreal. Spoilers for anybody who hasn't beaten it.
I haven't beat it.
Okay.
I haven't played it.
Never mind. You should play it.
Don't spoil.
Yeah, there are really cool elements to the way that the game brings you in. There's like a fourth wall breaking element to the storytelling that is novel and unique and not just like kind of like a novelty.
She just looks at the camera, right? Says thanks for playing.
And winks.
Yeah. Okay. She Deadpool says, style.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, nothing like that. So... that game just kind of exceeded my expectations on every level, despite the fact that I was super hyped for that game.
Yeah.
So I have to put it on this list because it was one of those games where I was just like, man, I've never had a game like just slay every level of execution that I was worried it wouldn't be able to perform.
Yeah. Right.
Because the original was just such a unique experience for me. I never thought they'd be able to replicate it in the same way. Yeah. And they just one-upped it across the board.
Mm-hmm. It was one of those games for me where I was like, I wasn't interested in the sequel because I was interested in the first game for a very specific reason, and that is the narrative. And the second game, like just from like the marketing and like the way they portrayed it, I didn't think it was going to be focused very much on narrative. The characters looked like they were going to be very like one layered kind of characters. And I was like, I'll wait for reviews and then just never end up.
You don't think it's interesting to name the character 2B?
I didn't even know that.
And then have a character named Not To Be.
No, I didn't know that.
Their name isn't Not To Be, but it's just like everything in that game is like a little puzzle piece for the subtext of it. It's basically just an exploration of philosophy.
Does it have like does it give you a reason to play the game again? Like
Nier does? Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's the same way that Nier functions, except eventually. So you play from completely different perspectives instead of just being able to, like, you know, in the original Nier, when you beat it, you play through the same game again, but with a whole new level of information and being
you get,
given
you to you. You get more context for the story.
In this one, you play as the main character, and then you play as the person who is with them, and then you play as a character that you don't meet until much later in the game.
Interesting.
So it's telling the story from just multiple perspectives, but you're getting new story with each perspective because they're like separating and and exploring stuff and everything. There's nothing about that game. Everything about that and like all those little weird things that I just talked about, that same level of like weird attention to detail and like winky nodness is in every corner of that game. That's what makes it so interesting.
Well, speaking on being put in very interesting situations.
Now here's a segue.
Oh, dude, I actually can guess.
Oh,
can is this Brawlhalla?
No.
Brawlhalla would have been a good one, though. That game did surprise me.
Yeah. It's got crazy characters. It's got multiple choices. And I did not expect this game to be as in-depth and had as much detail. And for me to like love it as much as I did. And this is Baldur's Gate 3.
Okay. Interesting.
I went in with like I watched the combat of this game because I was like, I don't know anything about the Baldur's Gate. Anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Have you played Divinity at all?
No. No, not before. Okay. It was only after.
Yeah, I mean, you're going in pretty blind at that point.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't remember if you guys were like, yeah, this game's great or whatever, blah, 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 or whatever. So
I mean, I definitely was.
Yeah.
And he was in early access, which I wasn't, but I had higher expectations because him talking about it got me pumped to play it.
Yeah.
I had high expectations because I beat Divinity 100 times.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
So, but I'm watching like gameplay of it because I'm a very much like it's got to have like some kind of gameplay. I have to watch the gameplay otherwise, like, you know what I mean. It's like it doesn't really matter how like the story is. It's like it's got to be, you know. There's a few exceptions or whatever, but I want it to be fun to play if it's going to be the thing you're going to be doing.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the gameplay and I'm like, wow, this looks so bad, dude. I'm like not into this at all, and I'm like, but you know, I'm just like, you know, everybody's like, it's so good, blah 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 blah. Anyways, I buy this game. And I'm staying up to like 2 a.m. playing every single night, dude. I'd get home at like 9 o'clock and stay up to like 2 or 3 a.m. And the next day I'd be like, oh my God, I can't do it again.
Yeah.
And then I get home and I'd do it again. All over again.
And then I would do it again.
Yeah. The level of detail in this game is insane.
Yeah,
it is truly.
And it's like they built it with like a clear intention of the game that they wanted to make. And having characters like leave your party because they don't like the decisions you're making is like, it's going to change the format for gaming forever.
Yeah.
This game specifically.
I think it's super smart to do that because you don't want these characters around like nagging every decision you make.
Exactly.
Or like seeing like a little thing. Like they don't like that decision every single time. It's like they just leave.
Yeah. They're like, I can't stand this anymore. And I don't like the direction you're going and I'm leaving.
And it makes the characters more believable.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, dude. And it's like,
it makes me anxious though because I want all the characters in my party so I can see everything.
For I have to like let go of
I'm
that.
Like, I want to say this, but I'm going to say this because I know he's going to get mad.
Don't do a dark urge.
We were fighting earlier this morning already. I don't want to make him mad again.
I'll be good.
Yeah. I'll be good. But I never change.
Yeah. Like I've played games with like,
I'll be bad.
You know, story driven elements and you can pick good or bad or whatever. Yeah. But this like this game, it's like it actually matters.
Yeah.
And you can actually go one way or the other instead of it just being like, well, you made a bad decision, but everybody's still following you around. And it's like, that's, you know, for every game, it's like, oh, you still want to play it. But it's like that, it actually matters for every single decision that you make. And it's like, that's, there's next to nothing.
I'm actually playing like it right now with a Dark Urge playthrough on honor mode, which is where if you die, you're done. You have to start all over.
Oh, really?
And it's been a blast.
Yeah.
It is stressful.
Oh, I'm sure.
I almost died and I saved myself I had Asterion as the only one left on the red cap fight in the swamp. Thought I was ready. I was not. Took an invisibility potion and crawled my way out of that fight.
I must go.
Yeah. And they actually got a successful hold hold person cast on me. So Asterion couldn't move for like two turns. And then I was like, well, like 2 HP left and like crawled away with an invisibility potion and then rezzed my team and then absolutely wiped out the red caps on the next try. But whew.
Intense. Incredible. But no, but I mean, like, even like if you have a locked door and you don't have the key for it, you're like, I'm just going to break the door down. You know what I mean? Just like options like that. And I, like I said, I've never played Divinity before this. So I didn't know that you could do that or whatever. But it's like, for me, sorry, you hit that. For me, this game was like blowing my mind. This is going to like, this game will set the standards forever for so many games that are going to come
out. The thing is, they are such a unique beast in the game developer world that I think a lot of companies are going to try to do this.
Oh, for sure.
And they're not going to be able to
capitalize on this. Yeah, absolutely.
Because they had the thing is, like, it's not even about the variety of alternatives you have. Like you were saying, like, it's not just locked door or break door. It's like, go steal the key from somebody or turn invisible or find a new route through. There's like, there's like five solutions to every problem. And it works at so many different levels. Like you were saying, like you can miss entire party members. You never even recruit them. So like you can't rely on, you can't say from a developmental standpoint, well, they'll have this character in their party, so we can make sure that they can do this because this character will have the skill set. You can't do that. You can't say, like, well, they're functioning at this difficulty or whatever, because the game works so well with, like, playing on, like, honor mode. Or Dark Urge mode is, like, a completely different narrative structure that makes you make completely different decisions. Or gives you, at the very least, different ramifications for the same decisions. So it makes you think differently about how to make them. Like, there's so many levels that this game has to function at. And somehow it manages to pull it off while also being a game that gives you so many choices in how to do those things. Like, how can they possibly balance these two things as well as they do? And it just seems like a miracle that this game turned out as well as it did. And if this were a Bethesda game, can you even imagine?
I can't imagine.
Glitchy this game would be and how janky it would be and how dumbed down they would have to make it to get it out the door. I mean, look at Starfield. Look at, like, they couldn't even manage to make another Skyrim. Like, a decade after Skyrim.
Right.
And then they come along and make this game that is just like so nuanced and so complex and in depth. And it's just crazy. Like, still to this day, people are finding new things in that game or like new paths with characters and stuff like that. Like, it just blows my mind. There is no game that I can think of that has managed to execute on this level. This scope of game.
They released a statistics page where they were keeping track of like the different endings people have gotten, the like the parties people have, the decisions people make. And there are like scenes that only like 2% of players have actually seen. Because you have to be so specific about how about you get what you're to doing. It.
I know there are there are characters that you can recruit that you can have in your party that I've never even seen.
Those are, never even met them. There's a few characters that are nods to the first Baldur's Gate and Baldur's Gate 2, which you can get in your party in Act 3.
Okay.
I believe. Jahira and...
There's one in Act 2 that's like a dark elf, right?
Talking about Jahira? Oh, no, the dark elf, the Oathbroken Paladin.
You have to... I think so, but you have to...
That's... Her name starts with an M.
Mirrodin or something like that? Something like
Myra or...
But you have to go like a very specific sequence of choices or be in a very specific situation for her to want to join you.
You can get her in Act, I guess Act 2. No, you can get her in Act 1, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you can get her in Act 1. You just can't, she's not a starter.
I have put, I think I'm at 48 hours in Baldur's Gate 3, and I have not left Act 1. So
that's really sad.
No, wait. I'm in the mines, which is Act 2, right?
No.
That's Act 1.
Okay. Act 1. I'm in Act 1. Yeah. So I have a lot more of that game to play. But the thing was, they kept adding more stuff to it. Even after that game is what it is, afterwards they've made huge changes to, like, opening up endings for different characters to make them more satisfying or to give you more closure. And after a certain point, I was just like, I'm going to wait until they're, like, actually done with this game. Because I know I'm not going to put another 200 hours in it. So I want to see everything.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of like, I was enjoying it enough that I was like, no, I want to see what this game is when they decide they're done with it. Like, what is their vision for this game in completion?
Yeah.
So I just put it on hold.
I'm excited to see what that studio does next.
Yeah. I can't even imagine.
For sure. Definitely keep an eye on.
Truly, like, hats off to them. I don't know anything about development, but I know what I see from developers. And I know that I've never seen another studio that can do quite what they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just
wild. For it to, like you were saying, like, I think I only ran into like one real bug that I just loaded my last save and then it was fixed. But like, just like, even the facial animations and all the voice acting and just everything was just like top notch. Like, this feels and the depth like a of the real
characters. Like, I care about most of those characters.
Right.
Like, obviously not Asterion. just to get hate from absolutely everyone on the internet. I was going to say, everybody's going but yeah, I just can't believe, like, there are so many characters in that game that I have any, like, actual attachment to.
Yeah.
When you have that many characters and you're doing that much stuff, it's just wild.
My only complaint is Will doesn't get enough love as a character.
I think he had an interesting story arc, but I don't.
I liked his character.
A lot of people miss him.
I liked his character, and I was like, he just didn't feel as fleshed out as the rest. I was like, they should have done more with Will. But that's like,
that was about it.
That's what I did.
Yeah. Ryan, what you got?
I have a game that I picked up around when I got my PS4. This is a free-to-play game, and it came out on the PS4 first.
I know what this is.
And it was, I think it came out in 2016.
Overwatch.
I think that's right.
And I didn't have high expectations for this game because it is a Souls-like.
How can you not have high expectations for a game with a Grim Reaper and a skateboard?
The kookiness of the game was can't believe
you're about to talk about this game
right now. I love this game.
Let it die. I bet so many people have never heard of this
game. Oh, yeah. I would be surprised if a lot of people
did. You know it had a sequel?
What?
Is it also a free-to-play game?
I do not know, because I cannot access it except on a PlayStation. It was on Steam for 6 months and then got shut down.
That's so weird.
And is only on Steam. Huh. Or Sony.
What is it?
Like PlayStation. It's called Vengeance Let It Die.
Oh.
And it's like I think it's a fighting game. I didn't look too much into it when I realized I could not play.
Well, we'll look it up here in a minute. After.
So Let It Die is
it is a roguelite. It is a tower climbing game. Is that right?
That's not the genre, but that is what you do.
A tower called Tower of Barbs, and it is basically a mountain made out of like a city, and it apparently is still growing, and no one understands it. But there's like, it's got this like religious context to it as well.
It's cool, man. The aesthetic in this game is so much aesthetic.
It feels like the style of the graphics. Reminds me of Dead Rising. And the weirdness of the characters reminds me of Dead Rising.
That developer made a few other games that are
Gung-Ho.
I think it's called Shadows of the Damned. Is that right?
Yes.
It's like a road trip.
Talking about Suda?
Yeah, Suda 51 is the name of the developer.
Grasshopper Manufacturer.
Grasshopper is and then his Gung-Ho, studio that he made.
Yeah, Gung-Ho acquired them.
Okay. Because I remember they got shut down when they got acquired by somebody else.
The game was actually going in a different direction. I did a little bit of research on it, and the game was going in an entirely different direction. And then Gung-Ho acquired them and like changed the direction of the game.
I feel like this is a hard game to explain to people because has so many different things coming together that you don't typically see in one game.
There's a lot of mechanics to where it starts to feel like a Monster Hunter game where they're just like,
yeah,
here's
yeah,
another thing. Every time it introduces a new mechanic, there's like a little balloon that pops up in your hub world or out in the tower. You'll see it sometimes too. And it'll have like a little envelope attached to that balloon and it's just floating. And you open it and it's introducing like a new device that you interact with to help you in the tower. But you're basically trying to climb a tower and get to the top or as high as you can. And the idea is you start over and over getting higher and higher. And you can unlock shortcuts like elevators that get you up higher so you can start off not at the bottom every time. But it has a cost. And it does have like express pass that you can pay monthly for that allows you to use like the elevator for free. And it gives you like other bonuses too. But they've surprisingly been updating that game. They had like a Halloween event that just happened.
It's still working?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I picked it up.
Did not know that.
Because of this episode and doing research, I picked this game back up because I wanted to talk about it. Oh, dude. And I've just been hooked playing it. I was almost late today because I was playing it this morning.
I guess I should download it again on PS4.
It's free to play.
Yeah. The thing is, it doesn't
feel... It's on Steam.
It doesn't feel like grabby in the way that... Or at least in my memory. It doesn't feel grabby in the way other free-to-play games feel.
Oh, not, you do not have to spend a cent on this game.
Yeah, I really... Yeah. I remember my memory of that game is thinking, like, they can't be making a lot of money off this game because they don't really incentivize you to buy stuff.
Yeah, the thing is, like, the season... it's not season pass, but the express pass that gives you the, like, membership benefits is expensive. It's, like, $15 a month,
which is high for the, I would expect this it game. To be, like, $5 or $6.
Well, the thing is, they've been releasing events every so often where you can get the express pass on sale, but those items are still in the store. They didn't expire those events. So you can just go buy express pass for $5.
Interesting.
But they're one-time purchases, each one of them, but you can just go through.
So instead of paying $15 a month, you can go buy 4 months for $20.
Whatever. I think they have, like, six different options that say this is a one-time purchase, but you can purchase each one time for $5. And then there's like 99-cent sales that they don't like end the sale. They just make a new sale later.
They just move on. It's like letting the Halo lets their season passes stay permanently, and you just pick which one you want to make progress.
Yeah, in. Sort of.
But it's so we skipped over the important part, I guess. It's like a third-person action game, right?
Yeah, it very much looks like if you watch someone play it, it looks like a Souls game. Mm-hmm. And I say it's a roguelite because you're constantly unlocking blueprints and you're getting this money that you keep and you're getting like picking up like new healing items. You're leveling your character up just like a Souls game. You collect like souls from enemies you beat and you use that as currency to level up. But you also play with multiple characters. Mm-hmm. And they even have like invasions now, which it's like PvP sort of, but you just attack people's bases, like their hubs. Mm. And they set up defense with characters that they own to fight you when they invade. But they don't ever... Ooh. You don't ever actually fight a real person. But you can send your characters out into the tower to hunt other players. And so that will happen to you, like invasions in Dark Souls. You'll just see a named character. You'll see like their gamer tag or whatever you want to call it. And then you have to kill them. And you get a specific resource. I think it's called like... SP lithium, I think, that you get when you kill. They're called haters. The people
that makes sense.
Yeah, you kill those people, and those are the invaders from other players. But it's never an actual player controlling that.
Yeah,
character.
Gotcha.
And then also the same thing when you invade people's hub worlds, you're not fighting them; you're fighting what they've set up to defend their base or whatever.
Gotcha.
The idea is you attack when they're not home.
I like the idea of the base building games that let you set up defenses and then you...
They have some customization. Invade other people's. Mm-hmm. They have customization options to the hub world, but I haven't got into that on my latest playthrough. But as you advance through the tower, you unlock new classes, but you have to like buy a new character and level them up. So you unlock like kind of like a... like Final Fantasy Tactics, you'll get a new class and you can level that person up.
Yeah.
So I just unlocked the one that has the biggest inventory space. So it's like a scavenger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really nice. He's got like 30 inventory slots.
Do they have like static weapons, like their standard weapons per class?
No, you get blueprints that you take to this guy that looks like a hip Hitler. It's called Hippler. That's not his real name. I don't remember his name. He's got this weird like glass dome over his head, like an astronaut mask or something. But then he's got like a Hitler stash and this weird like combed hair. And he's like twirling a pen the whole time you're talking to him. It's
Suda 51 has a very specific sense of humor.
It's for sure.
You can't get away from it in this game.
But yeah, you deliver blueprints to him, and then you can rank up those blueprints. So you get like a bat, and then you get a bat plus one and a bat plus two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you, and then like certain armor has like stat requirements, so it's easier for certain classes to equip them at the get-go. Okay. But I leveled up the first class you get is like an all, it's called all-rounder or something like that. So it's just like he's a little bit good at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no armor. Once I leveled him up max, which was, you can do that pretty quick.
Yeah.
I could wear any armor I found or
So what's researched. The advantage of, if you can level up the classes relatively quickly, what's the advantage of sticking with one?
Well, you can level up the one really quickly because he maxes out.
Oh, it's
quick.
just the starter class that
maxes out.
Quick. I guess that's to incentivize you to move on.
To move to the next one, because it's going to be really difficult to do that, although I'm sure people have.
So what did you expect with this game?
Really, really clunky. I expected it to just not have... I didn't expect it to hook me, but it did.
Like it did.
I didn't expect to think a Grim Reaper with a skateboard would be cool.
Yeah.
It's always been cool.
The idea is cool, but usually the execution is bad. And in this case, I was like, I relate to this character.
Yeah. You don't realize it, but you're actually playing a game in a game.
Yeah.
You're actually in an arcade playing a game.
Right.
And when you can leave the game and go to the arcade, you can't move around, but you can see the arcade. And there's like, there's a guy playing another arcade game who's beaten Let It Die, and he gives you tips.
That's hilarious, actually.
Pretty creative. But he there's constant jokes about him where he's like, I'm really good at games, and I've been laid so many times. And I mean, not in like real life, but like digitally. And that's better, I think. And he's just like clearly playing. He's like doing combos on this like fighting game with the stick and stuff. And he'll just give you random tips that are actually super helpful, that they don't explain very well in the tutorial.
Yeah.
Like, he taught me how to reload guns. And I'm like, okay, didn't know. I thought I had to run out of ammo to reload them. And he's like, no, you just hold A and then hit whatever button is assigned to your melee weapon and you'll reload it. I'm like, okay, cool.
Great, thanks.
And then there's a girl behind the counter where normally you'd go and turn your tickets in to buy some slappy hands.
Mm-hmm.
And she has quests that you take in the Tower of Barbs.
Ah, that's cool.
And there's a ton of quests. And it has a backlog of event quests, too,
that you can do. That's going to be fun using and finding footage for this.
No.
Maybe you'll just have to send me some footage.
Maybe. I think a big part of why I enjoyed that game a lot more than I thought I would is because, in a way, aesthetically, it looks like it's going to be a janky game.
Yeah, for sure.
But the combat feels pretty satisfying and pretty tight. Like, it's not the kind of game where I feel like, especially as a free-to-play game, I feel like a lot of times it's kind of like a claw machine in an arcade, you know? Like, it's designed to make you fail so many times.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
But it doesn't... I never got that sense when I was playing it. I always felt like it was a skill-based combat.
Yeah.
And not just like, you need more stats. Your stats are just too low.
Yeah.
And you
give us money.
It doesn't matter how good you are at the game. Yeah. You are stuck here.
It's got, it's got really cool things to do with the combat. It's got, rage moves where you hold X if you're using a Xbox controller. Mm-hmm. And your character will like light up blue and then you'll hit either your, right trigger or your left trigger, depending on which weapon hand you want to use. And he'll do special moves with the weapon you're using. Mm-hmm. But you have to have your rage meter up, and different classes have different limits to their rage meter.
Yeah.
You start off with 3 as your max. And then they have Gortastic moves, which is like when you get a crit in Dark Souls, like you wear down their stamina, and then they like stagger. You have to hold X, and same thing, same like button combo, but you'll see a prompt pop up.
Yeah.
And the screen will like turn black on the edges, and like it's kind of makes you focus on what's happening with the combat and shuts everything else out, and your guy will just do some ridiculous combo that's over the top gory.
Yeah.
And then the Reaper dude will pop up and be like, that was gnarly. And then he'll go away.
Yeah,
that's cool. Game's man, wild. I haven't thought about that game in a minute, but I did me really enjoy
either.
It.
Yeah. And I'm interested to see how many people have heard of it, played it, or even know what it is.
If I had a complaint, it's a little annoying to just keep fighting like human-like characters. They have different weapons, just like you can carry,
right?
And they look different depending on what they're wearing, and sometimes they drop.
It's almost like a brawler in that sense that you're always fighting someone that's like about the same size as you and can use the same stuff you use.
Yeah, the bosses are unique. They're like sometimes they're huge or just crazy, and they do ridiculous stuff. And then there are so far, I'm not very far in the game, and nor did I get very far the last time I played it. I plan on getting much further this time, but there are a few cool looking enemies scattered throughout. Like they're I can't remember what they're called, like screamers or something, but they're like these weird creatures. They've got like this pole head with like a cage around their head, and they've got these long blades, and they're just kind of like these dumb soldier things that you just kill easy.
I have a very muddy memory of this.
And then there's this other enemy that's like the toughest enemy to find just out besides bosses. Is it like flies around and has this like drill butt like a bee, and like will just sting you and deal half your health, and you have to like dodge it, and then it gets stuck in the ground, and then you kill it. Gotcha. But those are kind of rough.
It's all or nothing there.
Save your ammo for those. There's like there's a magnum, and the rage move is like it turns into a cannon when you shoot it.
Nice.
And it's
makes sense.
Blows it.
Yeah.
Makes total sense.
So cool.
Very Suda.
Yeah.
It is super, super. If you like that game, you should check out some of his other games. He did Lollipop Chainsaw, Shadow of the Damned. Sense.
Yeah.
And there's one other game that he's pretty famous for, I think.
Didn't he do Killer 7?
Or
he did not do Killer
7. He did No More Killer Heroes 7.
No More Heroes
is the one I was trying to think
of. More Heroes, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. In the same vein, for sure.
Yeah.
Travis Touchdown.
Yep. Classic.
He certainly has a particular brand.
He sure does. Yeah. And he took full advantage of it when that game was released on the Wii.
He sure
did. Why did you do that? You did.
Yeah. You know what you did, and you did it on purpose. I'm going
to
go back and play
that. And I love recommending it because it's free to play.
So yeah,
that's true. Exactly. Very low barrier.
Now it's on the Xbox now? Is that what you're saying?
I'm playing it on Steam.
Oh, on Steam.
Oh, it's on Steam.
Gotcha. Okay.
Both very into that idea.
Yeah, the sequel is the one that got taken off.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll check it out.
And it's not a sequel in any, like, except that it's just like has the name Let It Die. I think it was a brawler, like a Tekken style game, but I could be totally wrong. That's just what I got off some images.
I don't want that.
All right, Jaden, what's your final
game? Mine is so I played Fire Emblem Three Houses.
So what's your game though?
And I loved that game.
Oh.
I beat that game 4 times all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just jonesing for some more Fire Emblem, man. I wanted it so bad.
Okay.
And then they announced the next Fire Emblem game, and what is it? It's Fire Emblem Warriors, a Musou game.
Okay.
That is basically...
I do not agree with this one.
I thought you were going to say engage. So I was going to be shocked.
Welcome to my... I didn't touch engage.
I wouldn't either.
There's no waifus. Why would I play it?
Indeed.
I expect this to be a controversial pick. But
I think it's great.
So let me go back a step. I've always played the...
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to...
There's Samurai Warriors.
Yeah.
There's the Empires games.
Why play?
Get your
sequels. That's all the same game.
Get your hair off the mic. People can't hear my words of wisdom.
There you go.
What? My hair on the mic?
Yeah, I was doing a little. It was like an ASMR thing.
Yeah. Nice.
So a long time ago, it's in Germany, and a friend of mine, who I've almost certainly talked about on this podcast before. Was showing me around town, just like found a game store, and there was a game, Samurai Warriors Empires 8. And he was like, have you played this game? Oh my God, it's so good. And I was like, I do not like those games. It's just a bunch of button mashing. For those people who don't know, it's the kind of game where it's like you versus hundreds of enemies on the screen, and you're just like cutting through literally an ocean of enemies, and then
they might as well be grass.
Yeah, sometimes literally.
Yeah,
and there's like captains or generals or whatever who are much stronger, and you have to fight them. And then there's objectives. You're on this map, you know. But with the Empires, what I didn't know is the Empires games have a nation management system that lays over the top of this, where you are making decisions as an advisor to the emperor. And so there's like all these different territories that are controlled by all these different people, and you're trying to unite Japan. Mm-hmm. And so you have to, like, you make decisions. Easy.
It's pretty small.
It wasn't. It was not easy. It's cool because you can make your own character, but also I really liked the element of the game where you are managing the empire by deciding, like, this decision will, like, help farmers grow more food, mm-hmm. which will give you more soldiers in combat.
Yeah.
Or this decision might give you access to more resources so that you have gold to upgrade stuff or whatever. But all this stuff is framed within these political decisions that you're making. And so there's like this overlying narrative of like, how do you unify Japan? You're making these decisions, and that actually affects how people see you in combat. So sometimes like villagers in an area will help you, or if you've made decisions that negatively affect them, they'll help the enemy and they'll like set up a trap for you or whatever. So it creates a lot more depth than the typical Warriors games did.
Yeah.
And so he recommended that game to me, and I checked it out, and I thought it was awesome, and I loved that game, and I played a ton of that game. So when Fire Emblem Warriors came out, I was like, I will give this game a shot, but I'm not really expecting anything. I just want to see the characters that I like. But uh-huh. it is an alternate reality where instead of being Byleth, which is the hero that you play as in Three Houses, mm-hmm. in Three Hopes, you play as a custom character that you make. And they are like a mercenary, basically. And it's really interesting because it kind of flips this power dynamic where the big bad guy is Byleth. And they just call him the Ashen Demon because he just goes around wrecking everything. So the fiction is set up as if your end game version of Byleth is going around doing stuff that you don't understand. And you don't really know why he's doing what he's doing. But he is just like this huge menace that everyone's just terrified of.
I didn't know that part.
And so you're playing as this character and you're recruiting people from the houses because the storyline completely diverges from Three Houses. It's like totally different playing out of events, but it's with the same characters.
Right.
And it's really interesting because you kind of get this hub area where you can still go talk to people and build up relationships with them. You go out on expeditions with them to like build up relationships. It has all those similar mechanics. But it has so much depth to how you can customize your character, and it has these really smart ways of incentivizing you to try something different, because the pitfall of these kinds of games is once you beat whatever character you're playing with, because you can switch and play with any of the characters on your squad, any of your generals, and you assign them soldiers that follow them around, and of course you can do like archers are going to follow this guy around. So he's going to be strong against a certain type of unit, but weak against another one. Mm-hmm. So where you send him, you open the map in battle and you'll say, hey, go here. You have to be careful about where you send them because depending on who they fight, they could end up just getting wrecked. But whoever you play as, if you play as the title character like I do pretty much exclusively and just issue orders instead of jumping around to them, they're going to get overpowered super fast. And it's going to be a joke eventually where you're even one-shotting the generals and stuff. So, and in this game, you get like weapons and stuff that you are upgrading and crafting new, better versions of and stuff. So there, and you change your classes and stuff like that. And so that's where these achievements come in, where you will get, say, an achievement for maxing out the Warlord class. And you'll get X amount of points for that achievement. And then you can go to your campsite and use the points that you've accumulated to unlock exclusive stuff that you can't get any other way, like Byleth's sword or a new character that you couldn't, that is in the story, but you literally couldn't use them any other way.
Oh, okay.
And it really incentivizes you to play around and constantly be changing stuff and not just go and plow through the game and just like one shot everybody.
Yeah.
Which I really like.
Is there permadeath? Did you say that?
You can, I believe you can set it to permadeath. But I never do that because the whole reason I'm there is for the characters.
Right.
So I don't want them to die. And in this game, it can turn really quickly because reinforcements will show up and you'll be like, I didn't know that guy was going to be there. And now he's super weak to them.
I did not strategize for this.
I did not strategize for this. And it's got the combat itself. The maps are much smaller. There are a lot less enemies, but it is more tactical.
Yeah.
Okay. So you are constantly making these decisions over the course of the fight and things will change. And it's interesting because the story will split in the same way that Three Houses does, and the ending will be different based on how certain battles play out. So if you don't get to a character in time mm-hmm. to save them, they will die canonically, and the story will move in a different direction. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you had managed to get to them and cut off the enemy's attack
yeah.
and save that person, then it's a totally different outcome, and maybe you recruit them, or maybe you just get access to a whole new part of the map. Or whatever.
Interesting.
And as you're playing through it, there's tons of strategy that you can use to like set up traps, or you kind of earn renown that you can apply to different okay. strategies yeah. as you're playing. So it does a much better job than the typical Warriors games do of yeah. making you feel like what you're doing matters at all instead of just spamming the attack button over and over.
Yeah.
And it really captures what makes the Fire Emblem games fun for me, apart from the strategic combat. Sense of progression and that sense of like potential that there's like so much stuff here to see and explore and understand and just like tinker with.
Yeah.
And I was really caught off guard by just how well it captured the spirit of those games for me. And I've beat that game like 3 times now.
Wow.
Which I never would have expected to do with a Warriors game.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's cheaper than their other games.
Oh, I'm definitely sure.
$40 or something.
That can't be true. It's Nintendo.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I have to be wrong because it's Nintendo.
It's $55 when they do this huge sale.
Yeah.
They're like, $5 off. Yeah. It will never be cheaper than this.
This is your one chance to save $5. Even if it's
8 years old.
Yeah. So I feel like I have to, basically what I've done is justify that game this whole time instead of actually talk about it. But
no,
I feel like that game just really caught me off guard with how thoughtful they were about making it feel not like every other
ESO
game.
The only Warriors style game that I've enjoyed was Drakengard. I don't remember specifically why. I played it so long ago.
That's just because it was a prequel to Nier.
And it's because that's one of the strangest facts about life to me. Is that it is a sequel to
Nier. I like that he calls it a prequel, and they're like, "Oh, it is," and he's like, "Yeah, it takes place like 10,000 years before Nier," and I'm like, "Well, then what's the connection?"
Yeah, exactly. The same universe.
So long ago.
Yeah, right. So strange. Yeah. I remember playing some Dynasty Warriors game. Couldn't tell you which one, but it's just like, I can just hit one button over and over again, and I win. I could fall asleep and still win.
But people love to win, man. So what's not to like?
The kids love to win.
Oh, they definitely do.
We will ship you the biggest trophy when you finally beat Dynasty Warriors.
You won't believe it.
Oh, yeah. It's so huge.
Yeah.
It's just shaped like the one button you pushed.
Yep. Perfect.
Just and all that is to say,
just a giant square.
It's gold square.
You pushed it so good, so many times.
Yeah,
you didn't even pause.
Yeah,
it has full combo chains as well, which doesn't really matter. But when you're like me and you have a character that's 40 levels above every other character on your team, it's nice to mix it up.
You know what game that I don't know if it technically falls? You guys tell me. As now I can't even think of the game I was trying to think of. Is the Xbox original game something like Hero?
Hero something? That's a Musou game?
It's warrior style in the sense like you're fighting on a big battlefield with like killing lots of enemies, and you have different.
Is this
like
the 1,000,000 troops game?
No.
Oh, okay.
It is like medieval fantasy style. It's got like crazy cool enemies you're fighting.
This is the 1,000,000 troops game. The sequel to it, he was bragging about it, and he was like, 1,000,000 troops, and everyone was dead silent, and he was like, 1,000,000, everybody like obligatory clap. 99 Nights, that's what it was, 99
it's
Nights.
It's not that, though.
It's not that? Nano Breaker.
Well, is that a real game?
Nano Breaker? Yeah, where the blood looks like jelly. Have you ever heard? You don't remember? It's a Namco game. Yeah.
What
before they were owned by Bandai, huh?
What platform was it on?
Play it PS2, Xbox.
Okay.
Yeah.
That explains the blood.
God. It was like jelly, dude. It was
I'm thinking of Jet Set Jet Force Gemini.
Jet Force Gemini, yeah.
When you blow
Kingdom,
up the bugs.
Kingdom Under Fire.
Okay. I loved that game on the original Xbox. For sure. Yeah.
What did you, just out of curiosity, what did you like about it that you don't find in the other Warriors games?
It had, like, you were controlling different armies, and you had to, like, recruit, and you had these, like, the legendary heroes you could play as that were like the leaders of the armies had like special unique abilities, and it was PvP.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
had PvP.
Oh, okay. This is coming back to me. This was original Xbox.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, but it looked like graphically it was like
very.
I remember it being
for sure.
Yeah,
pretty.
And then they had a sequel that came out on the 360, and it was like an action adventure type game, and it did not do well. Mm-hmm. I played it for a little while, and I was like, man, this game is
frustrating.
That's
like a core memory unlocked. Reading about that game not doing well is my memory of it.
My cousin had, I didn't have an Xbox, my cousin AJ had this game, and I'd go over there and play it, and I thought it was great.
Yeah, nice. That's wild. Well, try, if you ever feel like it, try Dynasty Warriors, or not Dynasty Warriors.
It just has to keep me engaged with the combat and the Dynasty.
No, don't play Engage.
The Dynasty Warriors games I have played were just, they were literally just too easy.
Yeah, for sure.
So I would just fall asleep.
For them.
This is that to some degree, but I like it is, it's a power fantasy at the end of the day. Yeah. Like I like the strategic decisions you're making or your, it's really tactical decisions you're making. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I want to watch the little man fall down and not get up.
Three houses is fantastic.
Three houses is incredible.
So to have those characters back covering. So.
Yeah, and they have new characters.
And there's a demo
well,
for it.
So.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So. If I play a Dynasty Warriors game, I'm ready for bed at 8. If I play a game like Dark Souls or Let It Die, I'm up till 2 a.m.
So it's a great go-to-bed game. You heard it here first, folks.
Yes.
That's right.
We have a wide array of recommendations for you, depending on when you want to sleep.
Don't spend month subscriptions on app that helps you fall asleep. Just play a Dynasty Warriors
game. It's a small one-time purchase of $40.
Yeah.
Or the free demo, which actually, now that you say that, I think is what actually hooked me on it.
Is the demo.
Because I played it, and I was like, okay.
Okay.
And then, are you guys ready for my last game?
No.
You want to guess?
Hang on. This is a game.
Do I want to guess?
That is better than I thought it would be.
No.
Have we talked about it on the podcast before?
Jared has brought it up multiple times.
Oh.
Oh.
He actually brought it up.
Disco Elysium.
Today.
Oh.
Oh, it's Disco Elysium.
Heck no.
Did you play it? Did you
play it? Why you say it like that?
Disco Elysium?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I enjoyed my time with it.
Okay.
But it wasn't better than I thought it was going to be.
I was surprised I enjoyed it.
Enjoyed it as much as you did.
Yeah. And
the only reason we're not talking about it is because we have already talked
a lot about it. Yeah.
Well, throw it at me.
Uncharted 2.
Oh, I didn't hear him talk about that today.
He talked about Uncharted.
That game's gross.
I didn't hear him talk about that.
No, I'm not here to yuck your yum.
I'm not an Uncharted guy by any means.
Yeah.
Tell me why you like the mass serial killer.
That one, Taylan.
Oh, no.
Gosh.
Tell me why you like the mass serial killer from Uncharted 2.
Oh, my gosh. This guy.
What do you mean by that?
He kills like 700 people by the end of that game.
He's a Batman.
And then he's just I'm just a charming rogue. I don't commit war crimes.
I played Drake's Fortune. I think that's the first one. For like 15 minutes, and I was like, this game is clunky, and I do not like it.
I played one of them, and I'm pretty sure it's the second, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
I remember playing the first, I think it was the first one. I played it briefly, and when he jumps, he looks like he's running from bees, and I thought that was really funny.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then I played multiplayer. Yeah. I played multiplayer and was like, well, this is bad, which is a bad way to judge those games in particular. but nothing about it was clicking with me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what, this isn't my segment. You can go ahead.
Oh, you're fine.
I don't know why I'm all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to set up context for why I said gross when you said Uncharted
2. No, it's fine.
But it's because it's charted territory.
I see the appeal of those games. I get it. Mm-hmm. Like they are as close to living an action movie as you could possibly
just think. Specifically, just the second one.
Didn't Tomb Raider just do it better?
Yeah,
there's definitely
don't
things
you
I
think
like
that about. Tomb Raider does it better?
Yeah.
There are things that I definitely.
How many people does she kill?
Huh?
How many people does she
kill? Her game's rated mature.
Oh,
it's a little bit more visceral.
That's because when you shoot people, it doesn't feel like you're playing paintball.
True.
When you shoot people in Uncharted, they go, oh, dang it. Oh, owie.
There you go.
Yeah.
They say, I'm going to lay down.
Red paint.
And then they carefully and slowly lay down.
So,
you win.
So I play like 15 like minutes of the first game. Not a big fan. And the second game comes out, and my buddy John is just like, dude, play this game so we can play online together. I'm like, okay. So I'm in Chicago, I think around Christmas time, and I pick it up at GameStop. I come back home, and I play it, and I can't stop playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
The opening cinematic for that game is incredible, where he's on the train, and the train like basically careens off the cliff, and he has to climb up the train while he's like bleeding, and it's snowing and he's got nowhere to go. And then it comes, flips back to like where the beginning kind of what happened for him to get like here. Like
a flashback.
Yeah. And I've never played a game that was basically like playing a movie. Like cinematic,
yeah.
The way it's written, the characters, the facial animations. I'm like, what?
People who this? I think that's out. What gets me out of it though.
Oh, I mean, I could definitely.
I just want to. I'll just watch a movie.
Yeah,
that's kind of how. But like, honestly, that's kind of how I feel about it.
But this game specifically, Uncharted 2, specifically set a precedence for other games, and there are so many other games that copied it right after all the success of this game. So, but I don't mind the combat. It does. I went back and played it specifically last night. It does feel very paintball-y. But at the time, I didn't really think
that's how I felt.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know to what degree they did that to get a teen rating because they wanted it to be more mass appeal.
I agree.
And what they just don't know how to make a gun feel good.
Yeah.
But yeah, for anybody who's crawling
because in The Last of Us, it doesn't sound this. It does not like that.
All this game is cinema. This like
Cinema,
like the camera angles of everything, the way that it pivots, the
way cinematography,
that
cinematography, yes,
which is an expensive way to make a game.
Very much so.
Yes, that seems to be the case.
Yeah.
And then they made a movie.
Yeah, they made
of a movie. The game, and somehow it's so much worse than the game.
Yeah, like, it's weird how they do that. Yeah,
exactly. I've never seen it would have been too expensive to make the movie game into a movie.
movie. Yeah,
they should have just made a game.
They should make a game based on the movie.
Uncharted the movie, the game.
Please don't. Featuring Marky Mark.
That's right. Going on my wish list. Yeah.
But no, please don't be Tom Holland. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Just switch roles.
Just Mike Tyson.
You can unlock the Spider-Man.
I'm gonna steal that Tom Holland.
Yeah, so
I'm coming for that Twitter. Dude. Oh my gosh, man. But yeah. This game blew me away, man.
I'm
going
to do this to you. I'm going to do this to
you. That video.
Oh, man. But, yeah, man. It's like at that time, dude, I had played nothing like it. Like, cinematically, like, all of, like, even the level design is very good. And then you get into the multiplayer, which I really loved the multiplayer. This is what. This is how gaming is going to be now, from now on. You know what I mean? It's like they're going to spend all this time.
It wasn't. They don't got the budget for that.
It's crazy, dude.
I'm thankful for that, though.
Well, I'm saying like the amount of care and detail that they've spent into making a full, complete game.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is where...
The cognizance this is where they're going. Of how like it is structured... I mean this in a complimentary way, but that it is structured as a film would be in the sense that they are like, we will cut here, we'll pivot to this camera angle, the character will do this. And even though a lot of it is like button presses or moving around, what is happening around you, the scale of it is crazy.
Yeah.
Like the crashing helicopter scene and stuff like that. It's like, even if I would, even if in the back of my mind, I'm like, I would rather watch this as a movie.
Yeah.
The fact that it's harder to make that not as a movie because you have to create every single component of that. Right. So like, and then they're doing mocap for all the characters for this. And I have to say all of the characters are great in those games. I think that's a big part of why they're so enduring.
Yeah.
Because people really get attached to everybody in those games. So I'm not here to criticize it, but I'm just saying, whether you like it or not, those games do something most other developers wish they could do.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. I was just like, because I wasn't expecting much at all. I was just like,
They're Sony exclusive, right?
Yes. Well, they're on PC now.
They are on PC.
Yeah, they're all on PC now. Yeah.
But they're like a Sony title.
Yeah, it's Naughty Dog.
Yeah, I think it's licensed from
Sony. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I forgot. But, yeah, I mean, weird, I was very surprised on how, like, into this game that I was, you know what I mean? But it's basically like just Indiana Jones. good movement and a good story,
which is just Indiana Jones is just Tomb Raider.
I mean
just Uncharted.
Exactly.
Does that make Uncharted just Uncharted?
Pretty much. I mean, in a nutshell.
So, do you have any feelings about the new Indiana Jones game that's supposed to come out?
Yeah, I'm excited to see it because Machine Gun Games?
Something.
I think it's Machine Gun Games, isn't it? Yeah. The same people who did Wolfenstein. The reimagining ones. Mm-hmm. So
you couldn't pay me to play that game.
It's on Game Pass.
Dude.
So it's free.
Wolfenstein. You couldn't pay me.
I
will pay you.
Yeah. I won't accept your money. I will not play it.
That's what you said about Last of Us, and you love that game.
Yeah, that's not what I said about Last of Us.
That is exactly. If I could go back in time, I would record this specific conversation. I didn't say
you can't pay me to play Last of Us.
Okay, you didn't say that, but you're just like, I'm not interested. This game looks like blah.
It just looks super narrative driven, and I'm not usually into that. And then I was like, super into that.
You're getting older, Ryan. You're getting into narrative games. Yeah. You love jazz
punk. Expand your horizons.
You love disco.
I was a young lad when I loved jazz punk.
Well, now you're just a slightly older lad who loves jazz
punk. I'm going to go back and play and be like, man, I've matured. This game's terrible.
Oh, no. I hope not. I thought that game was so funny.
Yeah.
I hope I don't take that away from myself. Yeah.
That's right.
I think weirdly up until now, the Indiana Jones game, I'm like, this game's, it's been delayed like 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
I think this game's going to be quite bad.
Yeah.
But I just was listening to a podcast where someone was saying that they got to see like an extended look at it and they were like, that game looks pretty good, actually. Yeah. Yeah, I think this game's going to be all right.
Yeah. Well, they also said that about,
very surprising.
They said that about Dragon Age Vanguard. And then it came out and everybody was like, this game's garbage.
I don't even know if that game is garbage or not because I haven't played it, first of all. Biggest reason, I don't know. But second of all, I have heard that basically this is Vanguard was a game that was made by like 3 different studios
mm-hmm.
and which studio made which part of the game that you're in decides whether it's good or not, because they said there will be moments where there's this incredible character writing and the pacing is so good and the story is so engaging, and then in the next scene it's like all of that never happened and this character is just the most flat stereotypical nothing that they could possibly be, and the writing is terrible and everything mm-hmm. sucks, and then it just waffles between these extremes over the course of the whole game,
right?
So it's like maybe a third of that game is incredible and a third of that game is quite bad and a third of that game is just about average. So you get the whole Goldilocks spectrum. I don't know. But it's such a shame to hear that that game is like, even if you really like it, you will still only really like certain parts of it.
It dropped out of nowhere for me. I heard nothing about it. And then it was like, oh, there's an ad for this game. I wonder when it's going to come out. And it's like, it's out? I'm like, what?
This isn't an ad.
Yeah.
The game is here.
The game's here. Buy it now. And I'm like, no, I've never played any of these games except the first.
I loved Inquisition. And I actually really liked 2. I know a lot of people don't, but I think liked the first one works well.
And then
I don't remember. I didn't like the third one, but I don't know if I liked. I don't remember the first.
They went more like action-y.
The combat is meh in the third one.
It's always been kind
of
meh.
But I like other elements of it, so I don't know. But I'm just saying, I think that maybe if they're really lucky, the Indiana Jones game might not be too bad.
I mean, it's on Game Pass, so what do you have to lose?
That's true.
I don't have Game Pass because I just
what?
I'll gift it to you. It's $10.
For
PC.
Yeah, for PC.
I'll gift you a PC one.
Man, it's just like I just never used it, and it came like 3 months, and I just like spent like $30+ on it, and I was like, I never used it.
You still playing that Ally?
Ally, the Rogue,
mm-hmm.
or the Rogue? Yeah.
It's the Rogue.
I like calling it the Rogue.
Yeah, the Rogue.
Even though it's just ROG, and I don't know why it would ever be Rogue. I don't know what Talon's talking about.
I don't either.
Sounds better.
Yeah, just call it the Republic of Gamers.
The Ally is my...
don't call it that.
I have been playing Breath of Fire on it.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about this.
I've been playing Let It Die on it.
Oh,
nice. Have you?
Yeah.
Is it running okay?
Yeah, it runs great.
Oh, okay. See?
Yeah. Perfect. The ROG, I don't feel like the ROG is like the Steam Deck in that way. I feel like the Ally just kind of runs whatever you throw at it, or it doesn't. Whereas the Steam Deck is like, is it optimized for me?
Yeah.
True.
If not, I'm not going to take it.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
But anyway, guys, thanks for watching.
Oh, yeah. It's over now.
And,
it's over now. Go to your families.
Thanks for Sam Webster intro outro music.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
So much to appreciate him over this course of this whole entire year.
So much to appreciate him.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
No.
Take two. What Take a failure. Two. I can't imagine a worse thing to happen.
You played.
Yeah, please tell us what games that you were just totally caught off guard by how good they were.
Indeed.
Don't tell us about the bad ones. We're done with that.
No, You can tell us about the Baptists. You can tell us anything.
Just tell us whatever you want. We're here to listen. Feeling. We're like a therapist, but we're free. And we'll always respond. Mm-hmm. Most of the time. eventually. Also, if you ever have any suggestions or questions,
yes.
You can always suggest send away. didisavepodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Leave us a review on any podcast platform.
You can find us wherever you can find us.
You can find our podcast wherever you can find us. And on our YouTube channel, it would be so good if you just like gave it a little thumbs up and subscribed.
Mm.
We love it. That number goes up, makes my whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're almost at 60.
Mm-hmm. 1,000?
Killing it.
60,000.
We're having fun.
Once we hit that 60,000 mark, we're going to throw a party.
Talon's in denial. Having fun doesn't matter at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Don't forget to save. Thank you.
Okay. Don't forget to save. Bye.
Don't forget to save.
Yeah, I got this guy.